tour through Derbyshire with her aunt and uncle Gardiner, Elizabeth reluctantly agreed to pay a visit to Pemberley. The housekeeper, who showed them round, assured them that Mr. Darcy was not expected home until much later that evening. In this, however, she was mistaken.
Miss Bennet?
We were in the neighbourhood, so we thought perhaps... We were told that you were not expected until some time later.
That is quite right.
Mr. Darcy, I do hope you
don't think... You have as much right to see Pemberley as anyone else, madam.
Oh, yes. Thank you.
I hope you have seen what you want.
Yes, sir. Yes.
The gardens. I hope you have seen the gardens.
Oh, no, sir. No, not yet.
They are considered quite fine.
Oh.
Yes, I can recommend you to see the gardens, I think.
Thank you, sir.
Now, if you'll be so good as to excuse me.
Yes, of course.
Goodbye, Miss Bennet.
Bye.
Without another word or a look, he left her. Elizabeth was overpowered by shame and vexation. Oh, why had she come? In what disgraceful light must it not strike so vain a man? It must seem as though she'd purposely thrown herself in his way again. She blushed inwardly at the thought as she sought her uncle and aunt, who, seeing her engaged with Mr. Darcy, had passed on and out into the garden.
So that was the great Mr. Darcy, eh?
My dear, a fine-looking man, certainly. Very handsome.
But hardly the easy, agreeable fellow that we've been led to imagine, I'm afraid.
Oh, but that was not surprising, surely. How would you like to return home to find total strangers standing in your parlour?
But, my dear, that's quite different. Besides, Liz is not a stranger. She's an old acquaintance.
Well, he certainly has a fine house. Has he not, Lizzie? I think it at least as good as its reputation.
Yes, it is very fine indeed. But don't you think it's time we went on, Aunt? They will be expecting us at the inn.
Just one moment. There's a stream down at the end of this path, and I thought I saw a fish rise just now.
Your uncle can never resist a trout stream. Well, I shall sit here, I'm afraid. Oh, my legs have gone far enough. They have more to carry than when I was your age, Lizzie, my dear.
Then let me stay here with you, Aunt.
Oh, that's very kind of you, my love. But I should be most obliged if you go back to the house and find the coachman.
If you wish.
I've no doubt that there's another entrance to the grounds, and that would save me the trouble of that long walk back.
Well, you sit there and rest, Aunt. I'll be as quick as I can.
She had gone not a dozen yards on her errand when round the first corner in the path, she came face to face with the very man who was at that moment occupying her thoughts.
There you are. How glad I am you've not gone.
We were just about to do so. My aunt is very tired. I was this moment looking for the coachman.
Miss Bennet, I owe you an apology.
Me, Mr. Darcy?
My manner to you just now. I must admit that coming upon you like that so unexpectedly, for the moment, my wits quite deserted me.
Perhaps... In a way, the explanation should be mine.
Oh, there is no explanation necessary, Miss Bennet.
Very well, then. Thank you, sir.
And now, may I be permitted an introduction to the lady and gentleman who were with you just now? They must think me most ill-mannered.
You may meet them if you wish, Mr. Darcy. They are almost within earshot at this moment. But I feel I should warn you that Mr. Gardiner is my mother's brother. They are my uncle and aunt.
Then that is all the more reason for not wishing to appear uncivil.
Oh, very well, then, since our positions are now quite clear. My aunt is on the small rustic seat by the path, and my uncle is casting an eye, no more, over your trout stream.
He is a fisherman?
Oh, indeed he is.
Ah, then we have something in common already.
Mr. Darcy, aunt, he wishes to meet you.
Oh, Mr. Darcy.
Oh, please don't move, madam, please.
Oh, we've been admiring your woodland walks, Mr. Darcy. but I'm afraid I'm no longer quite so active as my niece.
This rain has made the paths extremely muddy, I'm afraid. Hardly suitable for ladies, ma'am.
No, that is so. Though I should have cared nothing for it, I'm sure, at her age.
Oh, Mr. Darcy, sir, permit me to introduce myself.
My Uncle Gardner, Mr. Darcy.
How do you do, sir? You're a fisherman, I understand.
Oh, so Liz has told you already.
Well, if you're staying any length of time in the neighborhood, sir, perhaps you'd care for a day's sport.
Well, sir, if you're quite serious.
Of course I'm serious.
Oh, Mr. Darcy, you couldn't have said anything that could give my husband more pleasure.
Thank you, sir. Thank you indeed. You have what you
said. Yeah, what a charming man. Do you like him, Aunt? You spoke of him as proud and reserved. He's nothing of the kind.
His manner was certainly very different just now.
Certainly was. Exceedingly different.
I cannot quite think why.
Oh, Lizzie, my dearest girl, can you not?
Well, very well, then. Wednesday morning at 11 o'clock.
That's extremely generous of you, sir. Well, most certainly, thank you.
Good. Excellent. Mr. Bingley and his sister will be arriving tonight, whom Miss Bennet already knows. Also, my sister Georgiana, who is most particularly anxious to meet you, Miss Bennet.
Me, sir?
Mm. Yes, you, madam. Does it surprise you so much?
Well, sir,
she's little more than a child, not yet 17. So would it be presuming too much on your kindness to allow me to present her to your aunt and yourself one day while you're here?
Oh, no, indeed it would not. I'm sure we should both be delighted.
Thank you, Miss Bennet. Thank you very much. Now, if you'd care to see the rose garden.
Well, in my opinion, he's extremely polite and very generous. One couldn't want a pleasanter man.
Perhaps there is something just a little stately in his manner on first meeting, but it soon wears off.
Certainly, yes.
In fact, I can say, with the housekeeper, some people may call him proud, but I have seen nothing of it.
And I think it was extremely civil to put himself out in that way, considering his acquaintance with Lizzie was so slight.
Oh, really, Mr. Gardner... Yes, Lizzie, dear, you may well blush.
I was not aware that I was blushing, Aunt.
No doubt he's a little whimsical in his civilities. Men in his position often are, you know. I shall not take his invitation to fish his river seriously, of course.
But why not? I'm sure he meant it. Did you not think so, Lizzie?
Oh, my love, he's as like as not to forgot all about it and order me off his land. No. Extremely kind of him, but I shall not presume on such a chance invitation. It would be quite foolish.
Elizabeth was much disturbed by this meeting, and not least by Mr. Darcy's marked change of manner. Yet she, like her uncle, was half inclined to put it down to some kind of caprice, a mere whim of the moment. She was all the more astonished then, the next day, when her aunt called to her from their sitting-room window.
Lizzie, my dear, look, is that not he?
Who, aunt?
Mr. Darcy. There, look, in the open dog-cart.
Oh, yes, that is he, certainly. And that is Mr. Bingley with him. Oh, dear, they're stopping.
My dear, they're coming here. Mr. Gardner, Mr. Gardner, Mr. and Miss Darcy.
Come in here, my dear.
Yes, yes, put away that newspaper, please. Oh, goodness, I was not expecting callers at such an hour.
Nor I.
Well, I must say, I think it extremely civil of him to come so soon. Very civil indeed.
Yes, yes, your newspaper, dear, if you please.
What? Oh, yes.
Is this room warm enough, do you think? Mm. Should I close the window? Oh, dear.
Mrs. Gardner. Forgive our intruding on you so early.
Oh, Mr. Darcy.
Come in, sir. Come in. You're very welcome.
Thank you. I spoke to you yesterday of my sister coming. I most particularly wished her to meet you.
Oh, thank you. How do you do, my dear?
How do you do, ma'am?
Mr. Bingley, Mr. Gardner, Mrs. Gardner.
How do you do?
Come along in, sir. Come along in.
I need not introduce him to Miss Bennet, I think.
Miss Bennet. Well, now, how are you?
I am very well, thank you, sir. And you?
Never better in my life. And your family?
My mother and father are reasonably well, I think, thank you.
And your sisters, too, I trust.
Yes, thank you.
Please remember me to them when you write.
I will.
It is above 8 months since we left Hertfordshire. Yes, it was on November the 26th that we last met. When we were all dancing together at Netherfield, if you remember.
I do indeed remember.
Mr. Bingley, would you care to come over here and join my husband?
Yeah, thank you, ma'am. Excuse me, Miss Bennet. We shall be meeting again, I hope.
Lizzie, dear, you will look after Miss Darcy, I'm sure.
Of course. Do come and sit here beside me, Miss Darcy.
Thank you.
I hope you had a good journey yesterday and were not too tired when you arrived.
No, thank you.
A long day on the road can be rather exhausting, I'm afraid.
Yes, very.
Are you hoping to stay long at Pemberley, do you know?
I'm not quite sure how long my brother intends to stay, ma'am.
Oh, I see. I hear you're very fond of music. Is that right?
Miss Bennet, my brother has told me to ask you. That is to say, I should be most grateful. Or rather, would you do us the honor of bringing Mr. and Mrs. Gardiner to dinner with us at Pemberley one day?
Oh, how very kind. Only...
Oh, do say you'll come, Miss Bennet, please.
Well, of course I should be delighted. And so I am sure would my uncle and aunt. But with such a large party already, do you really want visitors?
Oh, yes, yes. My brother was most anxious that I should ask you. He's trying to teach me how to act as his hostess. But I'm afraid it does not come yet very easily. I should be most happy if you would come. There, that's the truth.
Thank you, Miss Darcy. Thank you.
Well, now, we must not intrude on Mr. and Mrs. Gardiner any longer. Tomorrow morning, then, sir. 11 o'clock, by the footbridge.
I shall be there, sir. Have no fear at all.
Well, I only hope we shall see some good sport. Ah, Georgiana, have you spoken to Miss Bennet?
She has, sir, very ably, and I have taken it upon myself to accept.
Oh, well, that is excellent. Any evening this week, tomorrow?
I will speak to my aunt, if I may.
Of course, of course. Georgiana, are you coming?
Goodbye, Miss Bennet, and thank you.
Bingley, we must be going, I'm afraid.
Goodbye, then, Miss Bennet. For the present.
Goodbye, Mr. Bingley.
Goodbye.
Goodbye.
Well, really, that was what I should call going out of one's way to be civil. So you will get your fishing after all, Mr. Gardiner.
I shall, my dear. And after such marked kindness on their part, I think the least you can do is to return their call as soon as possible.
I was just thinking exactly the same thing. What do you say, Lizzie? Do you not think we should call on them ourselves tomorrow? Oh, she's gone.
Gone?
Up to her room, I suppose. Well, I'm not surprised.
Oh, you mean that...
Most marked, I thought. And did you not see the way he looked at her?
Trust you, my love.
But don't say anything, mind, because you know what dear Lizzie's like.
Oh, no. No, not a word. Not a word.
The next morning, then, while Mr. Gardiner joined the gentlemen of the river, Elizabeth and her aunt returned the call of the previous day. On reaching the house, they were shown through the hall into the salon, whose northern aspect rendered it delightful in summer, while its windows, opening to the ground, admitted a most refreshing view of the high woody hills behind the house. Here they found a number of ladies assembled, among whom Elizabeth recognized the handsome features of Miss Bingley.
Oh, Mrs. Gardiner, how very kind.
I hope this is not an inconvenient moment.
Oh, no, no. Do come in.
Mm. Lovely place, more like a barn than an assembly room. And the men, my dear, if they'd scoured the streets, I do not know where they could have come across such a collection of hobbledehoys.
As I said to Darcy, really, there cannot have been a groom left in the district.
Oh, we have visitors, it seems. How tiresome.
Mrs. Gardiner and Miss Bennet. I think you already know Miss Bennet, do you not?
Do I? Forgive me, I will be with you in a moment.
What was I saying? Oh, yes, of course, that quite dreadful ball. Shall we sit over here?
If you like, my dear.
I'm so sorry.
Oh, please don't apologize.
We shall not stay above a moment, shall we, Lizzie?
We only wanted to thank you and your brother for your kindness in coming yesterday morning.
He will be sorry to have missed you when he...
Ah, Miss Eliza Bennet, of course, now I remember.
I think you don't know my aunt, Mrs. Gardiner.
Your aunt? How do you do? Let me see. Was it last Christmas in Hertfordshire that we met?
It was.
Oh, by the way, I hear that the militia have left the district. That must be a great loss to your sisters, I should think. Darcy.
Pray forgive me breaking in on you like this, Georgiana. I've only just heard that you had callers.
Well, really, this is indeed an honour, that the gentleman should leave the river on our behalf, is it not?
You should not have left your sport, Mr. Darcy. Mrs. Gardiner and I only called briefly, in passing, to thank your sister for her kindness in coming yesterday.
Oh, must you go again so soon?
I'm afraid so. Must we not, Aunt?
Well, yes, my dear, if you say so.
Goodbye, Miss Darcy. I shall look forward to our meeting again tomorrow night.
Goodbye.
Goodbye, Miss Bingley. I'm sure your friends in the window are eager to hear the end of your story.
Goodbye.
I shall come with you to the carriage.
No, please.
Yes, I insist.
Very well, then. Thank you.
Miss Bennet, I don't know what fortunate circumstance brought you into this part of the world.
Oh, Mr. Darcy, I wanted most particularly to speak to you on that point. I can assure you it was entirely an accident.
Then it was a very happy one. Miss Bennet.
Mr. Darcy.
Well, what is the matter?
Lizzie, my dear. So there you are.
Another time.
I thought for the moment I had quite lost you. Mr. Darcy, it was most kind of you to leave your fishing on our behalf. Was it not, Lizzie? I'm sure my husband could never be prevailed upon to do such a thing in any circumstances.
After the carriage had disappeared from sight, he stood for a moment in thought, then turned and went back to rejoin his sister and the group of ladies indoors.
Oh, well, that was a brief enough visitation anyway. I was just saying to Georgiana how very ill Eliza Bennet looked this morning. Did you not think so, Darcy?
Ill? What way?
I never saw anyone so altered in my life. For the moment, I scarcely recognized her.
I saw no very particular change. I don't know what you mean.
Well, for one thing, she has grown so brown and coarse-looking. She never had what one could call a fine complexion, in my opinion, but now... Did you not notice?
She is a little tanned from the sun, but that is not surprising at this time of the year. Besides, I don't find it unattractive.
Indeed. Then how much you must admire all washerwomen and gypsies.
Yes, that is quite possible.
For my own part, I must confess I never could see anything particularly handsome about her. Those eyes, which some profess to think so fine, to my mind, they have rather a sharp, shrewish look. I remember when we first met her how amazed we all were to find her considered quite some sort of local beauty. I remember particularly your saying after dinner one night at Netherfield, "She a beauty? I'd as soon call her mother a wit." That's what you said. Do you remember that, Percy?
Yes, I do remember. But that was when we first met. Since meeting her more often, I've come to look upon her as one of the handsomest women I know. Georgiana, my dear, I think if you don't mind, I shall rejoin the others down at the river.
I'm afraid your dear brother is in one of his stranger moods this morning.
Later that day, Elizabeth and her aunt, awaiting the return of Mr. Gardiner from Pemberley, were agreeably surprised by the appearance of a maid bearing a package, which in their absence had arrived by post.
For you, my dear.
For me? Oh, that is Jane's hand. She promised she would keep me well informed with all the news. I was wondering why she had not written.
Dear Jane, I'm afraid she's not such a good correspondent as you, Lizzie.
But this time she has made up for it, it seems. Look.
My dear, however many pages.
If you don't mind, I shall read it in the garden, where I may do it full justice.
Do, my dear.
But I promise to give you a full and particular account of anything of interest, sparing no details.
I'm afraid you'll get no gossip from dear Jane, my love.
She settled herself upon a garden seat and prepared to enjoy at second hand all the recent history of her family at Longbourn. Yet something about the very length of the letter, so unusual for Jane, made her apprehensive. And very soon her apprehension was borne out.
Dearest Lizzie, I feel the greatest reluctance in writing to you on a distressing matter while you are so far away, and I hope enjoying the peace and beauty of the countryside. But something has occurred of so serious a nature that I fear I must. Be assured that we are all quite well, but what I have to say relates to poor Lydia.
Oh, no.
Last night, after 12 o'clock, when we were all in bed, an express came from Colonel Forster in Brighton. Dearest Lizzie, I am sure you already begin to anticipate the rest.
While within the parlor of the inn, Mrs. Gardiner was at that moment receiving an unexpected visitor.
Mr. Darcy.
Forgive me, madam. You must think it strange, my coming unasked like this.
Oh, not at all, Mr. Darcy. Please visit us whenever you wish. Is my husband with you?
No, ma'am. I left the party a little early. Is it possible to see Miss Bennet? Have I your permission?
Oh, yes. She's just gone into the garden, I think, Mr. Darcy. She cannot be far. She's only been gone this few moments.
Thank you, ma'am. Thank you very much.
He left her and hurried out. But he had not gone many paces across the lawn when he saw her distraught figure approaching.
Miss Bennet.
Oh, Mr. Darcy. Oh, please.
No, stop.
Where is my uncle? Oh, please, where is he?
God, what is the matter?
I must find my uncle at once.
Let me fetch a servant.
Oh, no.
Then come back. Look, sit down.
Oh, no.
Yes. Please, Miss Bennet. Oh. There. That's better.
Thank you, sir.
Now, let me fetch you something. A glass of wine?
No, thank you. You are most kind. There is nothing wrong with me. Only I've just received such dreadful news from Longbourn. I cannot possibly...
Oh, Miss Bennet, please.
I beg your pardon. I do beg your pardon. There. That is all. I shall not be so foolish anymore.
You must wish me to leave you, but I shall not. You are not fit.
This letter from my sister, it contains news that I can scarcely... Oh,
please do not tell me if it distresses you.
Oh, yes, I must. You were good enough to tell me many things that must have distressed you equally. Well, not quite so much, thank God. Mr. Darcy, my sister Lydia has disappeared from Brighton.
Disappeared?
Run away with an officer. And can you not guess who that officer is?
Not.
Yes. Wickham.
Oh, my God.
And I might have prevented it.
Why? What could you have done?
I knew the sort of man he was. You told me, but I said nothing. I deceived them.
With the best of motives.
What good is that? Now it is too late.
Is that absolutely certain?
Absolutely. They've been traced to London. My father has gone to try and find them, but what hope is there in London?
That man is a villain, if ever there was one.
She has no money, no connections, nothing. So what is his object? Certainly not marriage.
No, not marriage, I'm afraid.
Then that is the end of her.
Oh.
Yes, it is. You know it is. He will not stick to her. Why should he? And then what will become of her? No one in ordinary, polite society will receive her. Her life will be ruined. I'm not yet 17.
Miss Bennet, you have done me the great honor of taking me into your confidence. Will you let me help?
Oh, Mr. Darcy, there is nothing you can do.
Please.
We must go home at once to Longbourn. At once. Oh, please be so good as to make my apologies to your sister for this evening. But please, Mr. Darcy, I beg of you, don't tell her the true reason. Not her, of all people. It would be too painful.
There was much to be done. Baggage to be packed, bills to be paid, notes of apology to be written. Yet before much more than an hour was passed, they were once more in the carriage, this time heading south, each too occupied with his own thoughts to speak. When, after a few miles, they passed the turning to Pemberley, up which they had first driven so few days before, Elizabeth was aware of her aunt's eyes upon her. Yet she did not trust herself to return the look.
Farewell, Pemberley. Farewell to... so much that might have been. Farewell.